Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
It is so good to welcome back Lynn Worsley, our human condition guru, after a month of holidays and some work overseas, and we're kicking off a new series of conversations which will fit in very neatly after our reprise of our Dealing with Difficult People series. We're going to be looking at developing ourselves. How do we do that? And we'll do some valuable self-assessment, looking at the way we see ourselves based on what others think of us. It's striking, actually, how much that shapes how we view ourselves. And tied into all of this will be a powerfully related issue down the track, eating disorders. Lynn, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Great to see you back. Welcome.
Thank you.
Very refreshed, I'm sure. So yep. Why is this so important about developing ourselves, and where are we heading this week?
Look, Lee, this week we're going to look at the development of ourself, and it seems really appropriate. Since the last 4 weeks, we've talked about the narcissistic and personality disorders that people have when they don't have a developed self. So really developing ourselves will harness ourselves or clear ourselves from actually developing narcissism.
Okay. Let's get a different definition set. What do you mean by the development of self? What do we mean by self, I suppose?
Look, the self in psychology refers to the knowledge and the sense of who we are as a unique person. And it's how we feel comfortable with ourselves. And the development of self is how we find our identity. In developing our sense of self, we experiment with copying others or modelling behaviour or setting standards that we want to achieve and discovering what we can do and our unique strengths and our unique ways of thinking. And we do that with others, and they reflect back to us what is good and what's not so good. And yes. We change ourselves to accommodate others and ourselves. It's an interactional thing. A relationship with others helps us to become who we are. But the psychological study of self is very interesting because there's a distinction made between who we want to be and who we really are.
Yes.
And those who set too high a standards or very low standards on themselves can actually hinder their own development of themselves.
So are we talking about this reaching our potential as a person?
Yes, it's a bit like that. But there's some talk about those who set such high standards and the motivation behind those standards that hinders a lot of people from realizing who they really are and seeing themselves and others in a much more realistic and compassionate light. There's a term that's used which we refer to as being your best self, which is probably like, you know, you're reaching your potential. But how are you at your best? Maybe not your potential yet.
Yeah.
And I think that's a better use of term, actually.
What does that actually mean? Can you flesh that out?
Now, I read a great article by a girl called İrem Ganay from the Turkish Positive Psychology Association. And in the article, she discusses how positive psychology puts a great emphasis on encouraging people to realize their potential and to be their best. And it sounds really nice, but if you dig a little bit deeper, it can become really difficult to decipher what being your best actually is.
Yes.
Is it setting high goals or being competent or achieving an outstanding performance or many expectations or being really good at the things that you do? So in actual case, it's all of those things, but excellence is measured with some sort of reference value, and there lies a bit of a danger.
That's right, because we'll probably be assessing ourselves as we're going to be developing over these weeks based on what others will be thinking of us.
That's right. So being our best selves doesn't actually mean about setting very high standards for ourselves and then criticizing ourselves each time we fall short of that sort of kind of person. Nor does it have to be about pretending to be more than who we are and feeling like a fake. Being our best selves means it's a process of self-discovery and a heightened awareness of the self that makes us realize that we really are much more than what we normally think we are.
Okay.
And given the ambiguity surrounding the definition of the term, being our best selves can mean different things to different people. And some of these conceptions can be quite maladaptive.
So is there's a difference between the best self and, say, the ideal self or the person we think we ought to be?
Yes. Now, according to Tori Higgins, a professor at Columbia University, people have different standards or self-guides against what they evaluate themselves. And the fundamental purpose of having a self-guide is to control and direct your own behavior. Now, self-guides are catalysts for change. They have an important self-regulation in our functioning.
Yes.
They motivate people's actions, and therefore they can help other people to develop or help people to develop and expand their capabilities and their skills. Now, some of those self-regulative, like if we have trouble with that one, regulatory
very good
behavior is typically aimed at self-improvement. And when we can't measure up to our internal standards and fail to attain the goals, the discrepancy between who we think we are and our personally relevant self-guides can have an important consequence for our own emotional well-being.
Yeah.
Now, Higgins pointed this out quite a lot, but he says the more that we're self-focused, the greater the emotional impact is expected to be.
And there's a lot of that today.
Yes. Yeah. So people often evaluate themselves against an internal ideal or an ought. The outcome of that is what motivates us to do things.
Yes.
So the standpoint of the self, the ideal self, it's a representation of the attributes that we'd really like, ideally like to possess. So it refers to our wishes, our hopes, and our aspirations. For instance, a person's ideal self might actually involve being more outgoing. It might be being perfect and never making a mistake. It might be a different body shape or a level of fitness that perhaps we can't achieve. But the ought self, which is a different one again, is a representation of the attributes that we believe we should or ought to possess.
Ought to be, yes.
And it refers to our duties and our obligations and our responsibilities. So, for instance, a person's ought self might involve being better at meeting deadlines, or it might be that we do things to please others and keep them happy, or ticking all the boxes all the way, otherwise people are not happy with us.
Yeah.
And the significance we attach to each of those self-guides can have an important and often negative emotional consequences.
And again, we're measuring ourselves by other people's view of us.
And I think we have a bit of a dilemma here too in our church and our Christian upbringing.
Yep.
You know, we can live by this ought self. I ought to and I should be, and that's what's going to drive me. Or my ideal self is going to be this perfect person. And that's not really how we are to be.
Get real. Excuse me.
But the research by Higgins suggests that the discrepancy between the person's current self and the ideal self may actually leave you feeling really disappointed and sad.
Yep.
And if you have the discrepancy that's quite high, it might actually produce a lot of anxiety and agitation. And as we're going to talk about in the next few weeks, some sort of, obsessive and compulsive behaviours.
I'm never happy with myself. Yeah. In that regard.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's bleak to think that we can never actually attain our ideal and our ought selves, and therefore we're doomed to feel agitated and depressed. Mm. But the danger there is that if we hold ourselves in some sort of superhuman standards that we can't attain, then we end up being quite sick. But the research on ideal and ought selves has important implications for positive psychology. And, you know, I talk a lot on the positive psychology side.
Yeah.
Because it produces a lot of hope for us. But if we perceive our best selves in terms of ideal and ought standards, our sense of emotional well-being will only be contingent upon our success. So ideal and ought standards play a predominant role in shaping our perceptions of ourselves. A much more adaptive approach is to basically distinguish who we are at our best, not at the ideal or the ought, from how we actually would think we should be.
I love it how you're always so practical with these things. So you take that theory and adapt it practically. What's it going to look like, do you think?
So if we want to be practical about finding our best selves and seeing what we really are like at our best, one of the good ways of doing that is savouring. I always think, you know, when you have a really good meal, and you savour that meal and you taste it and you really enjoy it. So savouring is a good way to actually overcome our tendency to compare ourselves to some sort of standard. So when you savour, you become conscious of and you pay attention to the positive experiences that you're having. Mm. So when you're playing a beautiful musical instrument and you're enjoying that, savour it and not necessarily give yourselves accolades, but enjoy that positive moment.
I'll take some.
Yeah. Now, savoring is not just about enjoying the positive moments as they occur. It can also incorporate some of the past and the future. So if you've had a lovely holiday, says Lynn, and you savor that past and have the memories of it, or you think that, you know, the future when you're expecting a child or you're expecting something exciting or a wedding, you savor that time of looking forward. And that's when people can really feel good by anticipating some future positive experiences or reminiscing about past experiences. So savoring is really about appreciating and enjoying each and every positive moment in our lives. Now, appreciating the best in each moment can also ease the way to appreciating the best in ourselves.
And it's not going to be a hard thing on us. We're just enjoying stuff as it is rather than attaining that impossible goal.
That's right. Yeah. So it's really like just sitting with it.
Yep.
Stop trying so hard to achieve anything. Just sit with where you are and just smile and look at what you've managed to achieve today.
Gratitude's an important part of that.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So if we want to realize our potential, we should definitely seek out new possibilities that will help us to develop and expand our capabilities and our skills. But in doing so, we should be really wary about the danger of becoming obsessed with improvement and perfection.
Yep.
So savoring each moment with a self-compassionate attitude is also an important part of realizing our own potential, since it heightens our inner awareness of all our strengths and virtues that we possess.
Yes.
Now, the Bible gives us so much on this. When I jump from the psychology journals back to the Bible, I think the advice is profound. Our self in the life of Christ is a hard concept. But does that mean that we compare ourselves to Jesus? Does that mean we become so caught up with the ideal holy person that we should be? No, of course not. The self with Christ is one of a relationship. So we were created to be in relationship with other people and a relationship with Christ. And that's characterized by acceptance and love and a challenge for growth. But it also involves looking outside of ourselves and being open to others in their pain. And that steps away from self-obsession and it towards much more towards compassion.
Yeah.
So Christ's example was one of seeing the real self in others and liking that. He savored the people he was with. He enjoyed them and he made them feel like they were loved. So I believe to savor the moment with Christ means to enjoy parts of us that are quirky and different and liking that because God created that. And being grateful out for ourselves and thanking God for the strengths that we have, that's a really helpful thing to do.
I've said this before. A very good friend of mine once said something really profound but so simple. She said, God's on our side, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, actually, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
And it's true. Yes.
So the uncertainty that surrounds the definition of best self can do some harm and it can also do some good.
Yes.
So depending on how you understand the concept, so being our best selves doesn't mean being perfect according to any standard. Being our best is more like being who we are and feeling that potential that Christ sees in us.
Yeah.
So understanding this is a gateway to finding a real sense of peace and perhaps enjoying the fruits of the Spirit.
What wisdom in this developing self thing. When you ran this past us, I thought, oh, that's going to be good. And it is. Next week, what are you going to take us through, Lynn?
Well, the next step, I think, is really looking at when there is that discrepancy between the best self and the ought and the should and the ideal.
Okay.
And seeing what happens when there's a discrepancy. And one of the key areas is in eating disorders. Now, we're not just eating disorders. You see it in another number of different areas as well. But in eating disorders, we have a real damage that is done in a self-concept and our self-ideal.
And very widespread too.
And I'd like to take us through it for the next few weeks of how some of the treatments around eating disorders.
Okay, look forward to it. And I'm sure there are lots of people who will be tuning in for that especially. Lynn Worsley, thank you so much. Great to see you back.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.